Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm going to begin the broadcast today with a quote of the day because I want to draw your attention to a resource once again available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The quote of the day comes from Leo Tolstoy. I guess I don't need to introduce him. He's a very popular 19th century Russian writer, widely acknowledged to be among the greatest novelists of all time. Probably best known for the novel War and Peace, but also the author of a confession from which this quote comes. The instructions of a secular morality that is not based on religious doctrines are exactly what a person ignorant of music might do if he were made a conductor and started to wave his hands in front of musicians well rehearsed in what they were performing. By virtue of its own momentum and from what previous conductors had taught the musicians, the music might continue for a while, but obviously the gesticulations made with the stick by a person who knows nothing about music would be useless and eventually confuse the musicians and throw the orchestra off course. And I think that quote of the day is poignant and profound in that we have to ask this question. In fact, a question that Oz Guinness opens his book up with, his book Last Call for Liberty. Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else? Or will the torch of freedom be extinguished altogether? I put few books in what I call a must-read category. But let me say this. If you care about our liberties, if you care about the future of our nation, Oz Guinness's latest book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, definitely fits the bill. It is must read. So why do I say that? It is because few issues are more fundamental than our most basic and hard-earned liberties. And those liberties are now under attack as never before. The stock market might soar for the moment or otherwise. The big box stores may be packed during sales. Sports and entertainment machines may hum with their daily headlines, but no one should be deceived. Radical, violent, anti-democratic movements are being fomented. They're being funded on both the left and the right. The left sees only the danger of the right only the danger of the left. And so extremism confirms and compounds extremism. Political debate has, well, it's degenerated into degrading and barbaric incivility. There's wild talk of spying and leaking and impeachment and governability, the 25th Amendment, and even assassination and secession is in the air. American leaders and opinion leaders are at each other's throats, intent on tearing each other apart, careless with their insults and their incitements. Many Americans are seething with rage over, well, over other Americans, and America is, in that context, locked in a mortal struggle for what each side believes is the soul of the republic. Heedless of the consequences, each side thinks the worst of the other. The once visionary leadership of the free world has ground to an inglorious halt, and with the suddenness of America's decline, we find a shock to our systems, a shock that is tragic to both detractors and those who admire America. In short, says Oz Guinness, what we are seeing is not politics as usual, but politics in a dangerous, radical style. Unfortunately, politics led by leaders who should know better. Oz Guinness's Last Call for Freedom, again, available for those who support the ministry. It's a hardback book. It is a keepsake. It is the treasure. And again, you can get your copy for your support, equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Felix in New York, New York. Hi, Felix.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. Great. The weather's getting cold over here, but I'm doing okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, so, okay, well, it's my first time calling. I basically had no idea I was going to, well, ask a question, but I guess, I don't know, a question came to mind, and I was kind of looking it up, and I basically wanted to talk to you more or less on Messenger and hit you up a couple of times. But, you know, I was just curious because I believe that it is so, but I'm, you know, sort of not sure. So I was wondering, my question is, do animals have souls? I don't think they do, but I just wanted to know what you had to say about that.
Well, what I would say is that the scriptures from first to last suggest that animals do have souls. Moses in Genesis. You can go to John and Revelation. They're communicating that the Creator endowed animals with souls. Now, there's a qualification that has to be made when I say that, because the soul of an animal is qualitatively different from the soul of a human being, and therefore there's reasonable doubt that it can survive the death of the body. So yes, Scripture provides us with sufficient precedent for believing that animals not only have souls, but will inhabit the new heaven and the new earth. I think of the words of Isaiah, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Animals are some of God's most avant-garde creations, and it's hard for me to imagine that God will not resurrect them in eternity. Now, that does not mean all animals. Perhaps it's just petted pets. I don't know. The Bible's not clear about that. But some of the keenest thinkers that I know, from Johnny Erickson Tata to Peter Kreeft to C.S. Lewis, are not only convinced that animals in general, but pets in particular, are going to be restored to the new heavens and the new earth. And if God did resurrect our pets, it would be in total keeping with His overwhelming grace in His goodness.
Well, you know, because there was a scripture I was looking at, like, I know in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 12, that it talks about that, you know, when a person dies, that the body returns to the dust, to the ground, and then the spirit of man goes back to God who gave it.
Well, that is absolutely true.
Then it talks about the spirit of the animal, like the spirit of man should go upward and the spirit of the animal should go downward.
Yeah, and that's why I say there's a qualitative difference between the soul of an animal and the soul of a human being. These are two entirely different categories. We are created in the Imago Dei, or as icons of God, and therefore we are created, if you look at the broad arc of history, we are created from the dust of the ground, God blowing the breath of life into us. We are created, and we are not just created for a temporary space, we are created for an eternal space, we are created for deification. So the long arc of history is from creation to deification. It is not just from the fall to redemption. It encompasses that, but the larger arc is about us becoming gods by grace, and therefore there is a qualitative difference between the souls of animals and the souls of human beings. Good that you pointed to the scripture. Coming to the station break, we'll be right back.
The American Republic is suffering its biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction. Will the Constitutional Republic be restored or replaced? In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.
America is running out of time. Our republic is suffering the biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction, and the roots of the crisis run deeper than many realize. In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. Will the Constitutional Republic be restored or replaced? Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to the phone calls. Benny in Loeb, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Benny.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I got a question, and I can barely hear you on my earpiece. I'm driving a truck right now. But I just want to ask the question, and then I'm going to go to the radio. I'll just go to the radio so I can get your answer so
sure.
I can hear you better. But the question was, is what does the Bible say about suicide? I've heard, you know, your body's a temple, and I read the Bible. Your body's a temple of God, and then I've also spoken to chaplains out on these truck stops, and they told me that, you know, God's love is eternal, and that nothing can take you from the hand of God, and so they're, you know, one theory is you're going to hell. The other one is, you know, that God's love and mercy and all that. It's, you know, that if you accepted him in your life, you know, and meant it at that time, then, you know, you're still going to heaven. So that's what I want to know what Scripture says.
Sure.
That's what I want.
Yeah. So the answer to that question, thank you, Benny, the answer to that question is that suicide is the murder of oneself. And in that sense, it is a direct violation of the sixth commandment, which says, you shall not murder. So if one commits suicide, they're committing a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit them together in their mother's womb. So on the one hand, it becomes unthinkable that anyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips would commit suicide. However, and I think this is a large however, there are people in moments of despondency that do things which are altogether out of character, altogether inconsistent with their belief system. And so I think we have to say, in relevance to the Scripture, in maybe I should say fairness to the Scripture, no single act is unforgivable according to the Scripture. The unforgivable sin is a continuous, an ongoing rejection of the forgiveness that could be yours. So those who refuse forgiveness through Christ, they're going to spend eternity separated from Christ's love and from his grace. Conversely, those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. So what's the point? The point is, while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips dare not contemplate suicide. And the reason, once again, is that our lives belong to God, and he alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end. So we should never take a prerogative that is the prerogative of God alone and take that prerogative upon ourselves. So we can never cast a cavalier eye toward the pandemic of suicide. And the reason I say it's a pandemic is that it is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Think about that. 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and it's one of the three leading causes that are actually on a precipitous rise. So again, important that as Christians, we do not kill ourselves because this is the prerogative of the Lord. All the days ordained for us, written in his book before one of them came to be. We also cannot say it's unforgivable sin in that there are people that do something in a moment of despondency, and therefore we leave those people in the hands of an infinitely loving and infinitely just God. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sean in Denver, Colorado. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. You've been informing me and a lot of people out there on just the truth of God's word.
Well, thank you.
And I just want to comment a little bit on the suicide thing, because I've heard people, I am a believer, you know, I've accepted Christ, I don't tell anyone that they're necessarily going to hell, but I tell them to look at scriptures too, because Jesus said, trust me, believe in me, and have faith in me. And he also said, you know, just let me be your life, you know. And when a person commits suicide, they're saying, I can't deal with this problem, whatever it is, which is understandable. But they're also, it's almost like they're saying too, God, I don't even trust you. And Jesus said, you know, yeah, just trust me. I mean, you're going to go through some tough stuff, but I'll get you through.
I think your point is well taken, Sean. And I think, too, that oftentimes people are addressing this question outside the context of the body of Christ. In a perfect situation, someone who is in a time of despondency will have people to whom they are accountable within the context of the spiritual gymnasium, and therefore they will have a solace for their soul. They're not alone. They're not isolated. All too often, however, in the modern context, we have individualist Christians. They're me and my Bible, and I don't need my church. I don't need the body of Christ. But the Bible knows nothing of that whatsoever. Now, having said all of that, I think it's important once again to emphasize that suicide is not the unforgivable sin in that.
What
the unforgivable sin is a continuous willful rejection.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's just nice to hear you mention that, because I hear some people saying, well, you know, he'll forgive, which God can forgive him, but we have to look at his word. Jesus said, trust me. He said, believe in me. And you know, if we're letting things get to us so much, we're not trusting him. We're just letting things take over instead of letting him take over, so to say.
Yeah, well said. And again, as I said earlier, suicide is the murder of oneself and therefore a direct violation of the Sixth Commandment. And therefore, no one who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips should contemplate such a thing.
Hey, thank you, sir. Again, thank you for what you're doing. You're informing a lot of people, myself, and just on the truth of the word, and you're helping us to stand up. Thank you.
Bless you, Sean.
Praying for you about your sickness thing, your cancer thing. Praying for you there.
Thank you so much, and God has been gracious. I am in remission, and for that I thank God. I just did a podcast with Jack Graham. He's the pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, near Dallas, and we were talking about how God has been so gracious to me, how so many people have prayed for me, and how God has graciously allowed me to experience remission. We're also talking on the podcast. And by the way, if you don't get the Hank Unplugged podcast, you want to go to equip.org or wherever you consume podcasts and look for Hank Unplugged. I can promise you, you will be blessed by the podcast. It's absolutely incredible when I look at the 5-star ratings that are coming in. They're quite literally an avalanche. And someone recently said with a 5-star rating, this is a side of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and Hank, that I have been waiting for. Thanks, Hank. Well, the reason the podcast has been so popular is I promise, as part of the mission statement, to bring the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet to your earbuds. And so it is the guests that make the podcast. But we were talking with Jack about angels. The first and highest place on the ladder of created beings is occupied by angels who have a transcendently important influence in our lives. Even though they're invisible, they are real. So we have to ask, what do we know about angels? How do they come to exist? Are they all of equal stature? What is their purposes? And we often neglect talking about angels because we neglect the Word of God. If you look at the Word of God, you'll realize immediately that cherubim guarded the entrance of paradise in the very first book of the Bible. Of course, I was talking about the first Advent, which we will celebrate in a few days, and angels heralded the birth of Christ at the apex of Scripture. And then, in the very last chapter of the very last book, an angel shows John the river of the water of life. And in between, there are literally hundreds of references to angels. Angels who surpass human beings by their spiritual powers, but are nonetheless created, that bear within themselves, therefore, the seal of limitation. We cannot say that they exist entirely independent of space or place, nor can we say that they are present everywhere. So what can we say about angels? Again, that podcast is going to be available in a few weeks, but many other podcasts are accessible right now at equip.org, or again, wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. And if you love the podcast, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. And as we close the broadcast, I want to say thank you for all who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people all over the planet. God bless you. May God richly reward you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Out of time. So long. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.